Matthew chapter number 1. I've been thinking about Joseph this morning. What a great Christian he was. What a great Christian he was. Let's read chapter 1 of Matthew, starting verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. That's still the will of God, amen? Still the will of God. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. We still believe that. I believe I can make this statement, Brother Shaw, with emphatically, that if you do not believe in the virgin birth of Christ, you are not saved. How could anybody know the Lord as their personal Savior and then deny that virgin birth? Ain't no way. There ain't no way. Amen. We believe it. Can I explain it? Negative. I can't even explain my physical birth, much less a spiritual birth. But I believe in both. Amen. In fact, I've had both. Praise the Lord. Amen. My first birth, Mom and Daddy's told me about it. Amen. I'm sure it happened. I know there's evidence that it happened. But I take their word for the doctor and the hospital and the county and the date and the time and my weight and all of that stuff. I take their word for it. But my second birth, I told Mom about it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I didn't have to ask. Amen. I was there when it happened. And praise God, I got to testify and tell Mom and Daddy about it and others since then. It's good to be saved. Amen. I can't explain the virgin birth. I can't. The miracle really is not in the birth itself. It was in the conception. She had the baby just like you had yours, Mom. Just like you had yours. She carried it full term, had the baby, just like you did. Amen. But the conception is where the miracle was at. Amen. But anyway, the Bible says here in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And I believe I can say emphatically as well that if you don't believe in the deity of Christ, you're not saved. Amen. Amen. Those two are inseparable, the virgin birth and the deity of Christ. We believe that He was God manifest in the flesh. Amen. The Bible teaches that. We believe that. It's the Word of God. And the Bible says His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. And of course you could go on into chapter 2, the story of the wise men, the magi if you will, and right on into the early days of Christ. And then of course Luke gives a lot of details to the birth of Christ. But if we're not careful, what we'll do in this time of the year is that there will be more emphasis on Mary. You know, Mary gets a lot of attention this time of the year, especially in certain denominations. In fact, she don't just get attention, she gets adoration. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with giving attention to her because she was a holy and a godly woman. Amen. Highly favored among women. Not above women, but among women. She was a godly woman. We don't take nothing away from the fact that, I mean, from her childhood, she made choices in a pure direction. She made choices of what she wouldn't do and would do. Amen. I believe she made choices about friends. I believe she watched herself. I believe that being pure and being godly was a crucial and a big deal to Mary. Amen. And there's a lot about that. And we believe that. We do not believe in the Immaculate Conception. That's not taught in the Scripture. That's Catholicism. Amen. We don't believe in that. That is simply that she had a sinless conception, just like Jesus. Well, that's not true. That is not true. Amen. She needed a Savior. In fact, Luke, she calls Him God, my Savior. She needed a Savior just as well. But we do take and establish the truth along with the Bible that thank God she was a pure and a virtuous woman. And she is worth attention. She's worth you ladies admiring her as an example. I think she's a good example in many ways. Look at her life in that light and see what God could give you concerning practical truths. And so Mary was a godly woman. But if we're not careful this time of the year, most of the focus will go to her. And they'll say that she's a co-redemptrix and a co-mediatrix with Christ. That is, her and Christ was co-partners in redemption and co-partners in mediatorship. And we don't believe that either. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Timothy, what is it, 2 and verse 5? There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Not Mary and Christ and so forth. But the point I feel like God would have us to make is that Joseph was equally as great a Christian as was Mary. I believe Joseph was a godly man. I believe Joseph was a man, my friend, just as much emphasizing purity in his life as Mary did. In fact, I think that's probably why they were attracted to each other. Amen. You young people, and it seems like I can't hardly preach a message here without preaching to young people at least part of the time, some of the time. But to the truth is that young people, you will look for a mate, a person that's most like you. A godly person will not look for a carnal mate. Amen. And vice versa, a carnal, fleshly person that's looking for a mate will not look out the most godly, God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian they can find. They won't. They'll try to find somebody that will match their level. But here's the thing. There's a danger in that. There's a danger in that because you young people, if you fall in love with someone, and you're on a low spiritual level, and of course, you know, and of course they probably are as well, then guess what's going to happen when later on in life, or even later on, could be soon in your life, God begins to deal with you about dedicating your life to God and serving the Lord and living for Jesus, and then all of a sudden, that mate that fell in love with you when you was down here spiritually, now you're wanting to be up here spiritually, and maybe they don't want to go up there spiritually, now you've got problems. You've got problems, amen. You need to make sure, especially you young people, and I didn't get up here intending to say that, but you young people, when you get into that age where you're at least starting to think about a mate for life, that guess what you need to do first? You need to make sure that your spiritual level is at an all-time high. You need to make sure that you're devoted to God, dedicated to God, my friend, so that whoever will like you at that point, evidently they're that as well. They're wanting that in a mate. I could give you names, and you probably could give me names of people that we know, my friend, that maybe when they got married or whatever, they were on a spiritual low possibly. But then when one of them started getting serious about serving the Lord, then the other mate did not want to go there. I mean, our church knows people like that. Right? I'm talking about a first name basis right here. Are you listening? Amen. So you young people need to take a note with Mary and Joseph, and you think, look what they did for God. Look what God did with them and through them. Amen. Are you listening? I know that Joseph had nothing to do with the actual birth of Christ as far as the actual birth directly, but he did have something to do with the birth of Christ indirectly. Amen. God, listen, large part of the portion of the scripture that I read to you this morning of Matthew chapter 1 is God talking to Joseph. Now you can go to Luke's account and find God talking to Mary. Now I'm going to tell you, friend, God spent about as much time. I didn't look and compare verse to verse, but I'd say that God spent about as much time talking to Joseph, my friend, at the birth of Christ and before the birth of Christ, after the birth of Christ, the early days of the birth of, after the birth of Christ, probably spent as much time talking to Joseph as he did Mary. Amen. Joseph is a great Christian. Joseph is a man to be patterned after. You and, listen, we men can pattern our life after Joseph. Joseph could be a mentor. Joseph could be a hero in your eyes and mine. Amen? Amen. I can tell a lot about you spiritually by who your heroes are. Amen. That's right. I can tell a lot about you spiritually by who your heroes are. Amen. Just walk in your bedroom and look, see maybe what pinups is on the wall or go out in the car and see what music you listen to and see who your heroes are. Then I could pretty well tell kind of what spiritual direction you're going in and what spiritual level you're on. But Mary was attracted to Joseph because Joseph was a godly man and Joseph was attracted to Mary because she was a godly woman. And know this, when God gives, and I don't know why I'm preaching to young people right here this morning, a large portion of ours is not even here this morning. But still yet, the truth is, you need to know that God's got a plan for your marriage. God's got a plan for your marriage. When Mary and Joseph, my friend, was married, and look what God did with them. Oh, look at the will of God there. Look at the work of God there, that what God did. So know this, that whoever you go to marry and whoever you're interested in, whatever, you need to think about this. Will they complement my faith or will they complicate my faith? Will they add to my spirituality? Will they share my goals as a Christian? Amen. That's right. I told them here Sunday or right here soon, I said it's better to be not married and wish you was. As to be married and wish you wasn't. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? Well, anyway, we find that Joseph, God talking to Joseph, great man of God Joseph was in chapter number 1. And of course, you can find that and then on over into chapter, the latter part of chapter 2, where Joseph is making moves with his family after the birth of Christ, directed and led by the angel and by God in his life. And boy, I think about Joseph many times. You can point out this about Joseph, and I've already elaborated on it somewhat. Joseph was a holy man. Joseph was a pure man. He was interested in purity. And my experience as pastor and as preacher of 28 years, I'm going to tell you, you get to preaching on purity and holiness and godliness and sanctification, and I'm going to tell you, the majority of the people in the average church will cut you off. I mean, when you're preaching Bible truth, when you're preaching things that's right there in the Word of God, most people, my friend, will cut you off about it. Amen? But Joseph, my friend, was a holy man of God. He was pure. The Bible says there in chapter number 1, I read it there, let me see if I can locate it right quickly. The Bible says he was a just man, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being, that's a key word, being, that shows that it was his character. Amen. He didn't turn it on and off. It was something that he was. What you are. The Bible said that Joseph was her husband being a just man. That wasn't what he did. That's what he was. Wouldn't be good in our life if purity would become more and holiness would become more of what we are instead of what we do. Amen. Trying to get somebody to do it will make enemies. But if they are become that, it won't be hard because you do what you are. If you can be that holy and pure and godly like Joseph, our example, guess what? Then doing will follow it. Amen? Being is the root. Doing is the fruit. But he was a holy man. He was a holy man, a just man. But then I would like to say that he was also a humble man. Joseph was a humble man. Now, I mean, you think about it. Look, just try to put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Here he is. He's engaged, betrothed, if you will, which in the Bible, friend, that was very strong language. In fact, you notice in chapter 1 of Matthew that she was called his wife even during the betrothal state, and he was called her husband during the betrothal state. In fact, it was such a binding state, it was such a binding contract that it actually took a divorcement to break it. And they weren't even married. Are you listening? But what I'm telling you is, just think about it. Here he is, he's got his high hopes, he's found his woman. Amen. And she's found her man. And boy, they're no doubt looking for their life together. And they're excited and all of that, you know, their life together. And then all of a sudden, she's pregnant. I mean, look at it from a human standpoint. What would go through a man's mind? I mean, that don't happen, my friend, just out of the sky. You know, that would automatically, in Joseph as a human being, would cause him to think of infidelity on her part, unfaithfulness on her part, you know. Are you listening? So can you imagine how that he was hurt? He was a hurt man too. Joseph was a hurt man. Can I say this? I wasn't aiming to deal with that point. Lord, just give me that one. He was a hurt man. Did you know life success will come out of this thing right here? How you deal with hurts. How you respond to hurts in life, my friend, will determine where you're going to go with God and what you're going to end up doing for God. Oh, how many people's been hurt? You can't get through this life without being hurt. It's going to be a part of the journey. Man's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be hurts physically. There'll be hurts mentally. There's going to be hurt domestically. There's going to be hurts every way you turn, financially. Amen. There's hurts. You can't get through this life without being hurt. But how you respond, you know Joseph was hurt. You know that Joseph was disappointed at the beginning when he found out that she was with child before God spoke to him, before God let him in on the big plan of God. You know he was disappointed as a human being, as a man looking forward to a life with his mate. You know he was hurt. Amen? How you respond to hurts. Boy, how many people respond to hurts in a fleshly way? They respond to hurts in a physical, you know, in a carnal way. They get hurt. Guess one of the first things they do is they quit church. They get hurt. One of the first things they do is quit reading their Bible. One of the first things they do when they get hurt, my friend, is run. Anybody can run. Anybody can run. Are you listening? God's trying to help us right here. How you deal with hurts. Joseph was hurt at least for a period of time before God spoke to him. You know he was hurt. He probably couldn't sleep at night. In fact, the Bible says there that while he thought on these things, verse 20. Amen? When you get hurt, if you're not careful, well, you can't help it. When you get hurt, it's going to get in your head. Amen? You're going to think about your hurts. Amen? You can't get hurt physically without thinking about it. Amen? You can't get hurt without thinking about it. He was thinking on these things. No doubt at night, probably had trouble sleeping because he was rolling over in his mind these things, my friend, that was transpiring in his life. His plans were changing. His desires, his aspirations, his dreams seemingly was crumbling right before his very eyes. He was a hurt man. Then he was a humble man. He was not a man driven by reputation. I tell you a verse that I still can't get a hold of. It's in the Bible and I believe every word of it. But I can't hardly seem to get a hold of it, Brother Shaw. And that's in Philippians 2 when it said about Jesus that he was of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. That's why he didn't mind being born in a barn. Amen? That's why he didn't mind being born to parents, amen, or Mary and Joseph. My friend that you know, just kind of didn't really have a whole lot. He didn't mind, amen, he could have been born in a palace. He was born king. He didn't become king when in Bethlehem. He was born king. He is king before he ever got here. He didn't start in Bethlehem, amen. He never had a start. Thank God he never had a beginning of days, and he'll never have an ending. He didn't start in Bethlehem. He could have been born in a palace. He could have sent an angelic message through the heavens that he was appearing, that he was coming, and you know, and had a worldwide reception. He could have put the stars on dress parade, my friend. He could have done it all. But he was born in a lowly stable without hardly any recognition of anybody. Oh yes, you know why? He didn't come down here to be big. He didn't come down here, my friend, to be big. He come down here to die. For this cause came I into this world. He come down here to be a sacrifice. He come down here to be the sacrifice. But what I'm saying is Joseph was a humble man. He was a humble man. He didn't care what it looked like. When God sent the message to him through the angel in a dream that what was going on was not of the devil, amen, but was of the Holy Ghost. Guess what? Joseph knew it was going to make him look bad. Joseph knew, my friend, to go ahead and take her to be his wife, my friend, and to marry her. People's going to talk. How many knows that? All that lineage ain't dead yet. They still talk. Hey man, people's going to talk about you. But here's the thing, if you're a humble person, if you're a person that's got that great quality of, humility, then guess what? Reputation is not your drive. Righteousness will be your drive. Amen? And so Joseph, knowing what people's going to say, and probably when Joseph and Mary walked down the street, there'd probably be people on the sidewalk sniggering. There'd probably be people in the store, when they'd go in the store down at the market, there's probably people down there that was laughing at them and said, there they go, there they go. You know, they're not even married yet, and she's with child. Yeah, we know what's been happening. Are you listening? But he was a humble man. My friend, he was more interested in righteousness and the will of God. Let me tell you something, what'll help you deal with people talking. Come on now, amen? I tell you what'll help you deal with that is you know the truth in your heart. Amen? You know the truth in your heart, amen? People will suspect, people will accuse, people will falsify information many times. But I want to tell you what, you'll be able to sleep at night if you know in your heart that you're clear with God. Amen? I tell you, Joseph, he knew people's talking, he knew people's laughing, he knew people's making fun, no doubt of him, and how it looked, he knew how it looked, but he knew, amen, that he was clear with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good. He was a humble man. And then, could I say this? He was a hearing man. Joseph, my friend, the outcome may not have been as good as it was if Joseph hadn't been a hearing man. In other words, when God spoke, Joseph heard it. Huh? When God sent the angel and the messenger to Joseph there and told him what was going on, guess what? Joseph arose from his sleep and the Bible said he did. Amen? He did what was asked of him. He did it. He was a hearing man. Oh, listen, friend, we talk about the Christmas story, and we talk about Mary, and rightfully so, and we talk about all the nativity and the manger scene and all of that, and the early childhood of Jesus, but I'm going to tell you what, if Joseph, Brother Carroll, had not been a man that was sensitive to hear God's voice and to know when God spoke to him, it could have been a different story. It could have been a different story. He was going to put her away privately. Even though he was hurt, He was still exercising compassion toward her. He was not going to make her a public example like the law said he could do. He was going to deal with it privately because he still cared for her. He still cared for her. But oh, thank God, he was a man of perception. He perceived when God spoke to him. And can I say this about Joseph? You study that when you get home. Joseph did not just hear the word of God, Brother Shaw, when he was right here before the birth. But God directed him, amen, after the birth to avoid Herod's threats and directed Joseph from one place to another to fulfill Scripture, amen, and fulfill prophecy. Joseph was a man that led his home. He was a man that was one of that heard the Word of God. I know this is not Father's Day, but I tell you, it'd still be good for us men to know the best quality we can bring into our home is a listening ear. Hearing God, amen, and leading our family. I'm sure Mary probably, well, she may not have because she knew what was going on too. But I was beginning to say that maybe she wondered at times, Joseph, why are we making this long journey? Why are we going to here in Bethlehem and Nazareth and all that? You know, but she didn't question it. She followed that leadership. He was following God and she was allowing him to lead, amen. Boy, wouldn't that make a happy home? Amen. I noticed we weren't too many amens on that one. But he was a hearing man. He heard the Word of God. He allowed God to speak to him. I wonder, listen, using Joseph as our example this morning, I wonder how many of us this morning could even remember when God spoke to us last. Now, I'm going to tell you what's the truth. I can handle a whole lot spiritually. I can handle difficulties. I can handle troubles. I can handle trials as long as God speaks to me. When God does not speak to me in my study or in my devotion or when I'm praying, I get disturbed. I get troubled. Amen. 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 That's right, isn't it? How long has it been since God spoke to you? Are you listening? You know why I believe a lot of people don't say much for God? They don't hear much from God. I believe a lot of people don't say much for Him, Brother Frankie, because they hadn't heard from Him. And I believe one of the reasons they probably hadn't heard from Him is because He hadn't heard from you. Amen? Look at the emphasis in the New Testament on the hearing ear. The hearing ear. You look at it. Amen? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Hey, young people, how long has it been since God spoke to you? You said, preacher, you mean God speaks to young people? Oh yeah, He spoke to Samuel. Yeah, He spoke to Samuel. Amen. He spoke to Samuel, just a lad. How long has it been, young people, since God spoke to you? Now I'm not talking about no audible something. I'm talking about in the Spirit of God and through the Scripture. I mean, you know, I can't explain God speaking to you, but I know if He ever said something to you, you'll know He did it. You won't have to ask me like Samuel did there early on. Who's that talking to me? Amen? We're missing that in our churches. God directs His people through the Word. God directed Joseph by sending him a Word. They didn't have the completed Bible then. Are you listening? That just becoming into from the Old Covenant into the New Covenant, the New Testament. They didn't have a Bible then, a completed copy of the Scripture like we've got. And I just want to say it on record, we do have a complete, perfect copy of the Word of God. Amen. In this King James Bible. That's right. We don't tolerate nothing else. Amen. We don't reference them. I don't read them in my devotions. I don't want nothing to do with them. I have no confidence in them whatsoever. Amen. Why? Somebody says, well, there's some good stuff in it. And I thought what Brother Kidd said one time. He said, why would I want to dig around in the garbage can to try to find a biscuit? Amen? That's right. Praise God, we have a completed Bible. God don't sin and speak through dreams and angels and visions and all that now. Praise God, He speaks through faith and through the Word of God. Amen? Through the Spirit of God. How long has it been since God spoke to you? According to what Jesus said in Matthew 4, was it verse number 4? I tell you how crucial it is. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what Jesus said right there? He said, just like physical food is essential for you to live physically, amen, He said, so it is for God to speak to you is essential for you to grow and live spiritually. You take food away, you'll die physically. You take God speaking to you away, and you will die spiritually. Our churches are dying because of a lack of divine communication with God. Amen? To God and from God. What would happen in our churches if people would stand up and say, you know what? God spoke to me this morning. God gave me this verse. God used this verse in my life. God's, amen? What would it do? But you don't hardly ever hear that. Amen? God help us. But anyway, He was a hearing man. He was a hearing man, and then He was an honorable man. He was an honorable man. And boy, on and on we could go. Joseph is a classic example. Joseph, my friend, was tender and compassionate, and he was dedicated, devoted, and sincere about the things of God. And there's a whole lot more that we could say about Joseph being a great Christian. And in this Christmas time of the year, be good if we could draw some practical spiritual principles out of Joseph's life and put them in our life. And you know, all the things that I've preached about Joseph could be said about Mary too. God spoke to her. She was a holy woman. She was a hearing woman. She was a committed woman. She responded to the will of God. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. She surrendered the will of God. She didn't fight God. She didn't rebel against God. She wasn't reputation driven. She was more interested in righteousness. So there's a lot of things you could say right there. But I believe it'd be good if we could draw some. You know, listen, if we're not careful, and I'm trying to bring it to a close. If we're not careful, all Christmas will be is a manger and a baby and a few other events surrounding that. And that's it. In other words, we leave it in history. It's just a historical happening. And thank God it was. But I'm going to tell you, God wants Christmas and the truths of it to impact our lives daily and practically. Don't you? No doubt about that. God wants us to look at that and learn and glean and grow from practical truths revealed right there. And we ought to have the attitude, God, You used Joseph. Lord, You'll use me. If I'll have those traits and those qualities and that character in my life, God, You can use me. And I believe a desire for every child of God is to want to be used of the Lord. I have a hard time believing somebody that really knows God if they don't want to serve Him. In fact, in the Scripture, I have a hard time proving from the Scripture. I have a hard time proving from the Scripture that a person really knows God if they don't have a desire to serve God. You know, I mean, I could give you Scripture on top of Scripture today that would verify that. What about Ephesians? Let me just give you that. We quote 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we stop there. Praise God for those two verses. Hallelujah. Glory to God for those two verses. But that's not all of it. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. Listen, we're not saved by our service, but we are saved unto service. And I want to ask you, dear friend, how many people in churches today claim to know God and they're not the least bit interested in the plan of God and the purpose of God for their life? The first thing Paul said, and Paul was our example. He states that. He shows that and declares that he is the example. He is the pattern for all them which should hereafter believe. The first thing he said after he got saved, the first words out of his mouth was, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Amen. Joseph and Mary was interested in the plan of God. They were interested in the purpose of God. They were excited, they were thrilled beyond measure that God had included them in His big program. What about that? Oh, my soul, if we're saved by the grace of God, we're to be excited that God would let us have just a little part in serving Him, in His plan, in His program. Thank God for that. God still uses people. Somebody told me the other day, said the reason God didn't call any preachers to preach today is because we're too close to going home. I said, I don't believe a word of that. When you've got 6.5 million people on planet Earth, and the majority of them don't know God, and many of them has never heard about Jesus, you mean to tell me that God is sitting back and saying, well, I'm not going to call no more messengers. I'm not going to send no more messengers. You know, I'm not going to call no more missionaries. Why? Because, well, the redemption draws nigh, and I'm fixing to go get to church, and it's about over. God called John the Baptist, brother Shaw, think about this. Lord, just give me this. God called John the Baptist knowing he wouldn't have but a 6-month ministry. Are you listening? It's not about time. God don't function off of a time X. He don't operate off of a calendar. Are you listening? He's got a plan and a program. I believe God still wants to call young men to preach the gospel. I still believe He wants to call people to be missionaries. I still believe that. I just believe that there's not too many that's interested in the plan of God and the purpose of God for their life. They're more interested in career. They're more interested, my friend, in popularity and reputation and their peers and being accepted in the world's eye. And my friend, being holy and pure and present themselves to God to be used of the Lord. Amen. Joseph, a great Christian. Won't be a great Christian? There's some of them in the Bible. Let's pattern our life after them. Amen. And nowhere do you ever find, you never find Joseph or Mary wishing that they had never got involved in the plan of God. God did not force Himself on Mary. She had to commit and volunteer, be it unto me according to thy word. God said, this is what I want to do, this is my plan, and I want to use you to do it. She had to come with her will, her volition, and say, God, be it unto me according to thy word. When Joseph was getting ready to make a move to put her away privately and all that, God didn't come and twist His arm and say, now Joseph, you're not doing that. Hem him up in a corner and threaten him. No. He sent an angel with a message and told him his plan, his purpose. This is what's going on, Joseph. This is what's going on. See, God had a lot going on. Joseph didn't even know it. Oh, that's good. God had a big plan already in motion, and Joseph didn't know nothing about it. Joseph was about to make a mistake because he didn't know what God was doing in somebody else's life. If you're not careful, you will make decisions thinking we know everything. When the truth is, Brother Stephen, we don't know nothing. The longer I serve the Lord, the more I'm convinced I don't know nothing. I've not arrived, I promise you. The older I get, and the further I go with the Lord, the less I know. I'm serious. I don't know nothing. I don't see how God used me in any capacity, to be honest with you. Amen? Boy, but if we're not careful, we'll get offended at somebody, we'll get hurt at somebody, and maybe on the verge of doing something wrong, making a mistake, and God might be doing something in their life, and you just don't know nothing about it. Hey, you know what? I'll let you go in a second. You know what would be good for all of us to know? God don't have to tell us what He's doing. Amen. Before He does it, while He's doing it, or after He does it. Amen. Amen. I mean, think about that. Joseph, God was at work in Mary's life, literally in Mary's life, and Joseph didn't know nothing about it. And he's all been out of shape because God told him, said, wait, now Joseph, I'm paraphrasing, Hawkins County style. Joseph, don't get bent out of shape. I got a big plan going on in Mary. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand to our feet. I want to be a great Christian for the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I want to honor the Lord. I want to draw from Joseph's life and some of the principles in Joseph's life and glean those into my life and serve the Lord. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Maybe God has spoke to you this morning. You feel the need of getting in the altar. You feel free to do that. You may just need to get in the altar and say, Lord, help me to be a great Christian. Lord, help me to influence somebody. Help me, Lord. Help me to be sensitive to your voice. When you speak to me, I want to be quick to hear. I want to be quick to obey. When you lead me, I want to follow. I want it to be a big thing to me to know the will of God and the mind of God and the direction of the Lord. You young people need to pray, Lord, what will you have me to do? What is God doing in your life? Is He leading you? Is He directing you? Is He speaking to you? Those things are to be of utmost concern of yours this morning. Of course, if you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to know that the whole plan of God included you. Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to save you. Everything He did for you. He loves you. It'd be a wise move for you this morning to get saved. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you this morning for helping us. Lord, I want to thank you for speaking to our heart, and I hope and pray this morning that, Lord, something was said out of Joseph's life, Lord, that would speak to us, that would nurture us and work in our hearts. Lord, may we see some characteristics and spiritual features in Joseph's life that we would want to say, Lord, I want that in mine. I want that in mine. Lord, I want to be used of God. Oh, Lord, I'm not interested in what people think and reputation. Lord, I want to be pleasing to You. Lord, I want to honor You. Lord, I pray You'd work mightily in the service this morning. Lord, those that are not saved, I pray You'd show them, Lord, their need of Christ. Lord, show the young people, God, how important it is, Lord, for them to be serving You. Lord, I thought about Jesus at 12 years old, made that great statement, I must be about my Father's business. Lord, 12 years old, already committed, Lord, to serving God, already committed to the business of God and the affairs of God, the will of God. Lord, I wonder how many young people here this morning has already committed their lives to the will of God. Lord, speak to them this morning. Lord, oh God, Lord, our churches, Father, many of our churches are emptying out slowly with young people that's serving God. Lord, the statistics, Lord, and I read it the other day, when they get 18 years old, 88% of them will leave church never to return. Almost 9 out of 10. Lord, no doubt by that statistic, there's young people here this morning that when they get 18 to 20 years old, they'll be gone. They'll leave the house of God and the things of God never to serve the Lord. Father, that's not Your will. Lord, that's not Your will. And our churches, Lord, we're failing if that's what we're producing. If we're producing children that's leaving at 18, never to return, Lord, we're failing. God, help us to get serious to know, Lord, that it's going to take an old-fashioned revival, old-fashioned power, old-fashioned move of the Spirit of God in the lives of young people, Lord, for them to be committed Christians, to serve You, and to carry the load of the church after many folk have already gone. Have Your way, Lord. Save sinners this morning. Lord, use the feeble efforts on our part this morning. Oh, God, we know the service today has been changed and altered, but Lord, we pray You'll work and get honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.